From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Yet another fabulous show for you today. Julia Sweeney will be our guest to play Not My Job later on. But first, a quick follow-up. Last week, we asked our panelists to predict what was in the gift bags given by the Iranian government to their British captives. Well, now we know. According to one of the sailors, they got 11 books, including Introductions to Islam and a book titled Iran at a Glance. The former prisoners, of course, expressed real disappointment. They swore the next time they're sure to be captured by the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, or if she's available, Oprah. We've got something for you, of course, that will never be found in a celebrity's gift bag, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. So call us up, answer some questions about the week's news. The number, as always, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Kim.
Hey, Kim, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fairmont, Minnesota.
Now, Fairmont, I've spent time in Minnesota, but I don't know where Fairmont is.
It's about 2.5 hours south of Minneapolis-St. Paul. In fact, we got about 7 inches of snow yesterday.
Yes. Well, when you move to Minnesota, though, you need to sort of expect that.
That's right.
That's great. Well, welcome to the show, Kim. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to the host of NPR's new morning show, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hiya, Kim.
Hello, Luke.
Next, say hello to one of the columnists behind the Washington Post's reliable source, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, Kim.
Next, say hello to humorist and author of the upcoming book, Long Time Leaving, Dispatches from Up South, Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hello, Roy.
Hi, Kim.
Well, Kim, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle right now will read you 3 quotes from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just 2 of them. If you do that, of course, you will win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Yes.
Okay. Here's your first quote.
Nappy hair? I comb my hair.
That was one Epiphany Prince. She was one of the 10 young women on Rutgers basketball team. She was responding to a particular critique of her personal appearance made by whom?
Don Imus.
Yes. The suddenly unemployed shock jock, wherever he is right now, he must be thinking, after all the obnoxious things I have said about blacks, Jews, women, and various other minorities over my illustrious career, why did they get mad now? It's a mystery, but here's a lesson for all of you. Whatever you do, never do anything that puts you in the position of having to apologize to Al Sharpton. At the end of the week, right before he was fired by CBS, Imus said he was done apologizing, and nothing says I'm sorry like, I already said I was sorry, so shut up. I am puzzled. Can you guys explain this? Genuine puzzlement on my part. This was Don Imus's career of being rude and obnoxious and belittling to other people. That's what he did. Mm-hmm. He said all kinds of racist and sexist and anti-Semitic things. That's his shtick. Why this thing, as awful as it was?
I mean, he never said it about anybody named Epiphany before.
That's true.
You know, I kept wondering, you know, on the NCAA women's bracket, what did he fill out?
You wonder.
And did he know it was going to be really his final four? He also got caught in the, you know, slow news cycle. He's going into the holiday weekend, you know?
What do you think of the theory this whole thing was arranged by Alberto Gonzalez? Just to get people off his case. Really.
You know who's really burned is Al-Qaeda, because they blew up Parliament. Well, they get 2 minutes on the news.
I know.
They should have said something racist, and they'd have been made it big.
Timing. It's all about timing.
Yep, timing's big, yeah.
Very good. Here is your next quote, Kim.
They can't say they've been lost. It's like saying, my dog ate my homework.
That was Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy. He was dismissing White House claims that they simply misplaced scores and scores of what, Kim?
Oh, my gosh. love political news, but I'm just drawing a blank.
I guess the, you know, the White House just thought they were all from Nigerian dictators and could be deleted.
Like I said, I'm just drawing a blank. I'm sorry.
Well, although I believe President Bush did save one or two and forwarded them to Karl Rove, saying, "So will this stuff really enhance me in the way it says?" Nothing?
Email.
Exactly, yes.
Thank you.
So we'll walk you through it. Federal law says that all official communication in the White House must be preserved. And some congressional investigators were concerned when they saw that some White House emails used Republican National Committee email addresses. So White House spokeswoman Dana Perino says, oh, not to worry. That was, quote, just a handful of staffers, unquote, just a few emails. Turns out it was just about everybody and as many as 5 million emails that have been misplaced, deleted, lost. Perino says now, quote, granted, it's a very large handful. Oh, and so anyway, the email says the Republican National Committee all disappeared. Sorry. Oops. Deleted them by accident. You know, that sort of thing that happens to everybody when you're pressed for time and under subpoena. And then actually the story got better, amazingly enough. The RNC then came out and announced and said, well, wait a minute. We think we've got a handle on this because we've been keeping all the emails that have been sent since 2004. So if they were sent after 2004, we have them. One exception. For some reason, this is true, they said they didn't manage to keep the emails sent by and to one Rove, comma, Carl, whoever he is.
ChubbyLover14 at hotmail.com. I mean, that was his email.
Yeah, of course.
When he and I
used don't think it'll work now. Now that you've blown it for him.
I love there was 13 other chubby lovers, but he still went with it.
Yeah.
He was the 14th.
All right, Kim, ready? Here is your last quote.
Okay.
I hate to be the one who told you this, but I told you so. I am the father.
Burkhead, the woman who father of Anna Nicole.
Yes,
baby,
of course.
Daniel
Why even bother
Burkhead?
Asking the question? No, Larry Burkhead.
Larry
Burkhead. There were, by our count, maybe incomplete, 765 claimants to the title of Daniel Lynn Smith's daddy. And they all, I guess, wanted to make that claim because of her adorable blue eyes and her potential $100 million inheritance. Other claimants expressed disappointment. Carl here, though, was seen to sigh in relief. The only question, though, left for Mr. Burkhead, will he take custody of his daughter in one lump sum or in monthly installments?
That's a little unfair to Larry.
Tell me why it's unfair to Larry. Defend Larry.
I'm going to defend Larry. I've been on Team Larry for the whole time because... Larry, if you recall, just to give him his props, Larry filed for paternity before she died, before any of this happened. I just want to make sure that Larry gets some points for trying to do the right thing.
Carl, how did Kim do in our quiz?
Oh, very well, Peter. Kim had 3 correct answers. Kim, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Oh, I am so excited.
Exciting, Kim.
Everybody wants my baby, but my baby don't want nobody but me. That's plain to see.